to our feet as we give the King of Kings praise. As we praise the Lord this morning, everybody rise up. Good morning. Amen. Let us dance and praise that to the glory of the Almighty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. He's my God. extraordinary strategist, impossibility specialist. You're seated in heaven. You've made the earth your footstool. Incredible God.
Sing, you are.
You are incredible God. Incredible God. Incredible God.
Yes, Lord, you are incredible.
You are incredible God. Incredible God. Incredible God.
Hallelujah. Sing, extraordinary strategist. Oh, yes.
Extraordinary strategist.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Impossibility specialist, you're seated in heaven. You've made the earth your footstool. Incredible God.
Oh yes, you are incredible God.
You are incredible God. Incredible God. Incredible God.
Oh, we serve an incredible God.
Welcome everyone this morning to the presence of the incredible God, the God who is able to do more than we can ask. He knows all our requests. He knows what we need and is ever present, even to grant us our request. Before we thank you, worship. Before we continue in the prayer, let us have a seat. I want us to read a passage of the Bible in St. Matthew chapter 15. We will read from verse 21 to 25. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 25. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciple came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. We have come this morning, we have worshipped Lord, but we want to call upon him to help us. He said, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast. Jesus is in our midst. And as this woman approached Jesus, she said, Have mercy on me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. There is a reason why we have come to Jesus Christ this morning to worship him. But there are certain things that Satan may be afflicting. It may be our mind, it may be emotion, it may be our life, any area that is not according to what God has made it. That is what happened here. That daughter was not in the position that she's supposed to be. Something is grievously affects her. That is the devil. When our head is not in the normal situation, we are being grieved by devil. When our emotion is being disturbed, anything that is not according to what God has said, that is area we need to ask God to help us this morning. So as the woman called unto God, he said, Lord, help me. Why did she call unto Jesus? Because in Psalm 46 verse 1, she had heard that God is the present help in time of need. Then Jesus Christ, who is representing the Father, she has to call. Because a present help in trouble is there. Somebody who is able to help is there. That is why she asks, Lord, help me. And every one of us today, let us echo that word, Lord, help me. Jesus wants to hear our voice. Lord, help me. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Shall we close our eyes? Father, we want to thank you because you are a present help in trouble. Your power is able to help us in all our situations. That is why we are here this morning. For we know with you, all things are possible. You are the incredible God. Thank you, O God, for sustaining us throughout the past years and for giving us the grace into another year, 2026. And we know you have a plan and a purpose for our life this year. And we know the plan and the purpose will be fulfilled. Father, we thank you, O God, for our gathering this morning. And we are praying, O God, in every area that any one of us need help, that you will help us today by your power. Those that need help in their blood system for healing. You will help them and heal them, O God. Those that need help, O God, in their nervous system, you will help them and heal them, O Lord. Those that need help in their skeletal system or their bones, Lord, you will arise and help them, O Lord. Those that need help over their family members, you will arise and help them, O God. Those that need help financially, Lord, you will help them, O God. Those that need help in their career, O Lord, you will help them. Father, we ask, O God, for the city of Winnipeg, O God. We ask for that you will help us to keep the city safe, to keep the province safe, to keep the nation, Canada, safe. Father, we ask, O God, that everything, O God, that we will do in this service, your presence, O God, will meet with us, and your name will be glorified. We commit our daddy apostle into your hands. We are his ministering, and Pastor Maria, and all the team that are ministering with them. Father, you will help them, O God. You will empower them, O God. You will anoint them, O God. You will give them the wisdom that is needed for the assignment. And we will receive more testimony from the ministration. Lord, we ask, O God, all the leaders in this church, Lord, you will grant them the wisdom to continue to lead us aright. You will empower them according to your will. And all the leaders in the city, the chief of police, the civic leader, we commit them, O God, that they will work and be in partnership with the program of God, O God. That none of them will do contrary to your will. O God. You will help them with your wisdom. You will direct them with your fear. And all the nations of the world, where your name is called, we ask, O God, that you will visit them, that your grace and your help will come upon them, O God. We commit the nation of Canada, the U.S., the Nigeria, all the First Nation into your hands. Lord, you will bless them, O God, and they will receive your divine help. Every member that is represented here, all the families, Lord, we need your help over our life, over our family, over our children, over our career, over our work. Help every one of us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in this service, all the blessing that remain, Lord, release unto us. As we will hear your word, open our understanding, give us understanding of your word, and let your word bless us. At the end of our life on this earth, in your kingdom, you count us worthy to reign with you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is calling us to the place of expectation, and he says to us, this hope shall not be deferred. Amen? It's not going to be deferred. Since my people shall not be sick. Praise God. Because hope deferred makes their heart sick. And God is saying to you and I, listen, I've been telling you this. I've told you this over and over and over and over again. This is not the first time you've heard it, but I am coming to do what I said I'm going to do. And the corn, watch this now, thou prepares them corn when thou hast so provided for it. When it is ready, it's coming to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. I want to thank God and celebrate you today as we come forth celebrating the goodness of God. I see the goodness of God in you. I see the amazing workings of God in your life. And I know that God has something extraordinary for every one of us, from the very youngest to the very oldest. Something new, something fresh, as we step into a new season of the goodness of God like we have never experienced before. Yes, in the world, there will be much tribulation, but the word of God to us is, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So I thank God for you. I thank God for me. I thank God for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, our God, is a good God. Well, I have a word from the Lord for every one of us today. You know, when you think about it, when you start a new year, a great deal of people have what they call a New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution. And the idea behind the resolution is that there are certain things they want to see changed in their lives, something they want better, some things that they want removed, that they don't want in their lives. They've made certain decisions. And unfortunately, for so many, those so-called resolutions fall apart so quickly. When I think about the word resolution, I think about two words. I think about the word resolute, which means, in a sense, you have determined, and you're determined to do certain things. So you're resolute, you're convinced about it. And I see the word resolution, and in resolution, I see that idea of representing a fresh solution to a particular problem, whatever that problem is. But once again, whether you're resolute or you're presenting a resolution or resolution, most of that falls apart within the first 3 months of the year. Some don't even last a week. You know, I'm not going to smoke no more. A few hours later, crash. What's the problem? You see, sinful man cannot live godly. Cannot happen. Not in any way that means anything. I'm not saying that we cannot try to live in a particular way. That's not the issue. And there might be some that, you know, really actually change. But so many times it's like you push on one side of the balloon and it swells up on this side. And you push on that side and it swells up on this side. So many times people change things just to start new things, one vice after the other. And there's no real change. You're replacing one thing with another. You stop smoking and you become a glutton. One vice for the other. But if we're talking about true change, there's got to be a way to be that. Especially for us as believers. There's got to be a way where we act out what God says we should be like and that which we want to see happen in our life. You see, this issue of not being able to do what you want to do is not a new thing. Paul writes about it. This is the one who says, even according to law, I found myself blameless. He writes and says, for the good that I will do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Tells us that in Romans chapter 7. So I'm trying to do the right thing, but I keep on messing up. But as you look at Romans chapter 7, you find a commonality in all that Paul writes about. You find the presence of a word, one single solitary word That word is I. Let's look at verse 19 of Romans 7, for example. It says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20, now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Just in two verses, we have so many I's in there. And in the second to the last verse of Romans chapter 7, he cries out, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He comes to the end of the rope and says, I'm a mess up. Who's going to deliver me from this mess? But then the light comes on. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With a mind. So he's giving us a hint. There's something about the mind. There's something about the mind. Something about the mind that has to come to play with this change that takes place. But it is the mind to serve the law of God. And then he goes on, but with the flesh, he says, I'm serving sin. Now, when we come to chapter 8, the word I is lost completely. And what you find is the spirit, the spirit, the spirit, the spirit, the spirit, the spirit. Now, what spirit? The word of God. What spirit? The Holy Spirit that empowers. What spirit? The spirit of the presence of God in a life. It is no longer I that lives. It is Christ that lives in me. The anointed one, and his anointing is what lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Romans chapter 12, we read these powerful words. Paul writes, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I like that, brethren. In other words, he's saying, we are brothers, we are part of the same family. We are the children of the Most High God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I plead with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What I want you to see here is this, that he's saying to us that if we're going to present ourselves to God, we should present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We should present ourselves to God as holy. We should present ourselves unto God as acceptable unto God. And he says, this is your reasonable service, or the least you can do. Let's not miss the point. The idea is this, that when you come to God by faith. Believe him. And he's saying, when you come to God, I don't want you coming to God and talking about how terrible you are, how bad you are, how messed up you are. I want you to come to God, and when you come to God, come and say, God, I present myself as a living sacrifice unto you. I present myself before you and declare that I am holy. I declare myself as acceptable unto you, the Most High God. I declare this so, because this is the right way to present myself before you. Without holiness, no man can see God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're going to live a life that glorifies God, God says, I want you to change, first of all, the way you approach. It is so easy for us to think about ourselves as sinners, lost and totally useless. But the language of God is, I want you to, when you come to me, don't come that way. Yes, I know that you're a sinner, but I've already paid the price for your salvation. I've already paid the price for your redemption. I've already forgiven you. I've taken care of your past, your present, and your future. And I want you to come to me knowing this, that I have made it possible for you to be holy, and I have made it possible for you to be acceptable in my sight. I don't want you to come weak. I want you to come boldly. I know it is hard for us to assimilate that particular point, but that's how God wants you to approach him. You say, but I'm such a terrible person. I'm such a sinner. Surprise, surprise, God knew about it before you started. But he's giving you the pathway, giving me the pathway for the change that we need. We need to be saying what we want to be in him and declaring that as already done. Not something I'm trying to do. I am that. I am holy. Why? Because it says, be ye holy. And if God said, be ye holy, then I am exactly what he says I am. I am holy. The word of God says that God has given us the gift of righteousness. Wow. Look at what the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning to read from verse 16. We're talking about living a changed life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. It tells us in this passage of scripture leading to the 17th verse where it talks about if any man be in Christ. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth, from now on, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And if we were to finish that sentence, it would be, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. What is the point he's trying to make? Now, we do know that Jesus Christ lived a holy life, an upright life. He moved amongst men doing the things of God. And yes, he is no longer in this earth physically. And so he says, when you are looking at Jesus Christ, I don't want you to see him just as the man that he was, because he's no longer that man. As good as that man was, he's no longer that man. He's now in his fullness a God man. He's a God man. He put on back his godness. He says, so I want you to look at him just in the flesh. I want you to now, therefore, look at him as he really is right this very moment as God-man. And from this perspective, something is going to happen to you, which means that you are, which actually means that you are going to begin to be changed into the same image of him as a God-man. Now look at this. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is how you become that. If any man be in Christ, that man becomes a new creature. Now that statement, a new creature, in the Greek means a creature that has never existed before. This is a new, totally new species. What is he talking about? You see, before Jesus came to the earth, he was totally all God. When he came to the earth, he emptied himself of his godness, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, and became altogether man. But when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, something happened. Something that never existed, a God-man came into place. A God-man. That's right. So, when Jesus, our Lord, rose again from the dead, something new happened in the heavens. It was not just God, it was God, man, mix. May I put it in a very crude way, a hybrid. a hybrid, something new, something fresh, something different. He says, when we are in Christ, we become that new creature. He says, all things are passed away. All things, they are passed away. He says, behold, look with intent, look with purpose. Behold, all things are become new. Look with the eyes of the living God. Everything is new. It is new. He says, that's why I want you to see yourself new. Now, let's look further into the 18th verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, all things are of God. All that which is new, it's all of God who had reconciled us to himself. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had not only reconciled us to himself, he had also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 goes on and says this, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that is very interesting, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation, that word that declares that they are not sinners. God wants you and I to come before him, not as sinners, but as ones who are now gifted with the gift of righteousness. For we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Amazing. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he says to me, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Acceptable. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is the least you should do. And then it goes on in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, it says, don't be conformed to this world. What does the world say? The world says, nobody's perfect. The world says, I am a terrible person. The world says, I was born this way. I will always be this way. He said, don't buy into that nonsense. Don't allow yourself to be poured into the mold of this world and be flipped out and you are just like the world. He says, you're different. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Go through the metamorphosis, the change that happens by the renewing of your mind. He says, that's where you need to change. The change of your mind. The renewing of your mind. He says, when your mind is renewed, then you'll be able to prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I call this the gap theory. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He says, you're going to prove it. How am I going to prove it? By the renewing of my mind. Renewed to what? To the mind of Christ. God wants you to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed one, This mind of the anointed one brings you to that place where you are aware of the reality of the goodness of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and you know by the authority of the power of God that you are what God says you are called to be. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is how you change. You become what you are saying you are in Him. That's right. You don't change by focusing on your sin. Change is not possible in that arena. Change is only possible when you turn to God and say, as you have spoken concerning me, so I am. Or let's put it this way. Let it be unto me according to thy word. The word of God continues. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know how you think highly of yourself more than you ought to think? It's when you are thinking, I can do it in my own strength and my own ability. I will psych myself up, you know, and then I'll become that. No. As long as you are living in the realm of I, you will falter, you will fail, you will lose out because you are too frail to make it in your strength and your own ability. Don't think too highly of yourself. How must I think? I must think soberly and recognize, Lord, without your help, I know I'll fail. But Lord, as you take possession of me and you influence my mind, and you speak unto me and grant me grace to walk in obedience before you, I know I can do all things through Christ. I know I will by your authority, because I'm led by your Spirit, live in victory. And in that positioning, you find yourself walking in victory. That is right. It is possible because we do it with the measure of faith that God has given to us. How is this measure of faith appropriated? It comes about because we are listening to the word of God just as you are right this very moment. You're listening to the word of God, you're embracing the word of God, and as you're embracing this word of God, faith is being released. For the word of God says, faith comes by hearing. I pray that every one of us receive the hearing ear this very moment. And that as you receive this hearing ear, that the word of God is releasing faith, the capacity to live victoriously, that capacity and that ability released unto you that makes it possible for you to know that the greater one is in you than he that's in the world. And that challenge that has kept you in bondage, that you are breaking free from it. Yes, you can break free from alcoholism. Yes, you can break free from living a life of lust. You can break free from adultery. You can break free from fornication. You can break free from drug addiction. You can break free from all kinds of habits and vices right this very moment. You may be struggling with it for years, but I'm saying to you this very moment, see yourself free from it and begin to declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that the freedom of God is made manifest inside of you, and by the authority of the living God, you will begin to walk in the victory that God has already granted to you. It is yours, it is yours, it is yours in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You can do it by the authority of the word of God operating in you. You are not an angry person. That's not you.
Not when God's power is operating inside of you. Oh, I can control myself. I have a potty mouth. I'm always swearing. Well, all of that can change. And it begins to change when you come to that place, when you decide that you're going to let God be God in your life. It's not positive thinking. It is a faith of God operational in your life and in my life. Hear what the Word of God says in Romans 10, verse 6. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, it talks about the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The righteousness which is of faith says something. But before he tells us about what it says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Don't say that. Don't say, who's going to go up to heaven and bring Christ down to help me? Why won't we, that language of faith not say that? Because he's already done that. He already came down to help you. It says, it doesn't say this either. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He said, it doesn't say that either. Because he's already done that. So what's the point? The righteousness which is of faith is a righteousness that believes that it is a finished work. It is done already. That's right. It is done already. I'm not trying to become holy. I am holy. I'm not trying to be righteous. I am righteous. I'm not trying to be forgiven. I am forgiven. He's already dealt with my past, my present, and my future. And all I'm doing is walking in the integrity of the Word of God, recognizing that he has finished it. He said it is finished. And I believe it is finished. And yes, I may have fallen flat on my face, but that's not me. I'm standing up and I'm saying, ah, that's not normal for me. I receive the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. He says, what does this righteousness that comes by faith, what does it say? What does it say? The word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee. The word is by you. The word is in you. The word is in thy mouth. And it is in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is this word of faith that we preach? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's the key point. Confess from your mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? The word confess means to say the same thing. The word, the Greek word is the word homologia. Homo meaning same. Logia, word. Homologia. But homologia, because the word logos also means accounting. Accounting. So, saying the same account, repeating what has been accounted for. And what the account of God concerning you is this, that you are righteous. So you say the same thing. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say the same thing. And it is in the saying of the same thing that God says about you that you become what God says about you. I didn't become free from the life of defeat by rehearsing and restating my defeat. No, I began to say what God says about me. And initially, it sounds like you're lying. No, that's how it sounds. You're puffing. You have an elbow problem. And you say, I'm not a drunk. I am the righteousness of God. And before you know it, the elbow is not bending anymore. It's straightening. You're rejecting that. You filled, and now you're not drunk with the natural spirits of the world. You're now drunk with the Spirit of God. You know, finding satisfaction in all of that, or trying to compensate for your mishaps and whatever else by representing this and doing that. No, you find fulfillment in God. Your contentment is in Him. He says, that righteousness which is of faith says, Jesus is Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. In essence, you're saying, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Which means I'm saying, Lord, you have ownership of me. How? Because you paid a price for me. I belong to you. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you. He says, if you believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shalt be saved. You're going to be saved. Because you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's no longer held down by the weight of sin. He broke free from that limitation. And therefore you also break free from that limitation. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess unto salvation. Recognizing that God is with you and for you. And the devil is no longer in charge. You've been born again from above. You have been called out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. The word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Hear what the word of God says. Romans 8 and verse 29. Powerful words. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those he foreknew, he also did predestinate. The word of God says, those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The very first song I ever wrote was from this verse. Those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he shall glorify. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those he predestined, he called them. God has called you. And he didn't just call you. He justified you. And he didn't just justify you. He justified you. He glorified you. How does he bring about this glorification? He brings about this glorification by causing you to look unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Looking unto Jesus. And as you look unto him with an open face, you are being changed into the same glory, from glory unto glory. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, what a passage of Scripture. But we all, with open face, beholding us in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. Remember, the Word of God says that if we are in Christ. Now, the only way you can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord and get changed into the same image from glory to glory is if you are in him, looking through his eyes. He says, as you're looking through his eyes, you begin to change on the inside. You begin to morph, to become like him. What you are seeing, what your sight is based on, what you are seeing through his eyes. Because ultimately, your eyes are the equipment through which you see, but your true sight is in your mind. And when you see through the eyes of God, see how God sees. God does not see you as a sinner. He sees you as his righteousness. Not because he's blind, but because he's calling those things which be not as though they were, as they should be. And God is looking at you and saying, I'm not seeing a failure. I see a great success. Son, you are my son. I love you. I cherish you. I care about you. I redeem you. I'm not throwing you into the garbage heap over there. I come and I salvage you. He's seen you as redeemable. Begin to see yourself that way. Stop seeing yourself as a failure. Stop seeing yourself as a defeated failure. Stop seeing yourself as one that is broken and lost. Begin to see yourself in the light of who God says you are, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let your life be sound this very day, transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. I don't know how I can help. That's why Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Your righteousness does not come about because you see yourself as a sinner. It comes about because you see yourself righteous and holy, acceptable unto God. That's the least I want you to do. That's what the Word of God is saying. The very least I want you to do. And stop letting people drag you down and make you look like a fool. Now, I'm not saying, listen. I'm not saying to you that if you are not in Christ, that you can get this. No, it is happening because you're seeing through his eyes. You seen through his eyes. But seeing through his eyes means that you first of all have to submit yourself to him and allow not only him to come into your heart, but you be in his heart. So how do you do that? By confessing that he is Lord over your life. That's how. Hear what the word of God says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He says, talking about what Jesus Christ has done, he says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. This is the power of darkness here. You got delivered from that power of darkness, the influence and the control of that power of darkness. You've been removed from that and had translated us and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Transported you, moved you from the kingdom and the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of his dear son, that's the kingdom of God. How do you get translated from that kingdom of power and power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son? How do you know that has happened? When you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then you are not pursuing the things of this world and trying to find the meaning of your life from the world. No, your meaning and your identity is in Christ Jesus. You've been translated and you are in the kingdom of God. He says, in whom, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from every sin, from every unrighteousness. You are not trying to become somebody who's resolute and trying to find a new solution based on your own ability and your own strength. No. You are becoming who God says you are because you have been redeemed. You've been moved from the power of darkness. You've been placed into the kingdom of God. Now you are walking in a new level or on a new dimension of authority, recognizing that you are the child of the Most High God, saved, delivered, bought with a price, the redeemed of the Lord, forgiven, cleansed, purchased with a price, born again with an incorruptible word. That's who you are, child of God. You've been moved from one kingdom into another. So, resolution? If there's any resolution you make, let it be this simple. God, you are my Lord. I receive the capacity to obey you and do according to what your will is. That's where you start. That's where the change begins. It doesn't begin with you trying in your own strength and ability. It begins with you surrendering that to him and allowing yourself to step into him, and he begins to work a mighty work in you. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The word of God says in John 3, it says, that which is born from above is above all. Every good gift. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was asked by a man, the man says to him, good master. And the Lord retorted back and said, no man is good but God, he said. But here in this passage of Scripture, God calls you good. And not just good, he says you're a gift. And not just a good gift, he says you're a perfect gift. You know what the world says? The world says nobody, no man is perfect. That's a lie. You have to stop saying things like that. You have to start saying, I am perfect. Say, how dare you say such a thing? Nobody's perfect. No, I'm saying what God says about me. That's what I'm saying. So that I can become what God said I am. Nobody's good. No, I'm saying I'm good. But Jesus said, no man is good. Oh, if he says that I am good, it must mean that I am now this new creature that did not exist before. It's no longer just man. It's a God-man. And that God-man is perfect. I'm born in the image of that God-man. I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. It says, it comes from the Father of lights. You know what? No man is perfect. Okay, let's agree on that. What about this? I'm not a man, I'm light. I'm not a human being. I am an alien. I am light. I'm a light being. Because I am born from the Father of lights. Dogs give birth to dogs and cows to cows. God gives birth to God. I'm a God man. And there's no wishy-washiness about me. There's no shadow of turning. He said, of his own will, the will of God, begat he us with the word of truth. This is how we become born again, by the word of truth. There's so many people in church that have not heard the word of truth. They say, I'm a Christian. But are you really? If you've not been birthed by the word of truth, if you don't know the truth that makes you free. He says, we have been begotten by God by the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Jesus was the first fruit. And now we are the kind of the first fruits. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Hear what God is saying. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Stop being angry. Watch your words. Be certain that what you're saying is founded in the truth of God's word and not some foolish nonsense you yapping off. Oh, I'm so dumb. I'm so crazy. I'm so foolish. I'm so broke. I'm so sick. I have this. I have that. Come on. Come on. If it is not glorifying to God, you have no business saying it. And if it's not glorifying to God, don't ever think you should be imputing that to anybody. God did not impute sin into people's lives. Stop imputing sin into people's lives. You know what happens when you start imputing sin and keeping people in bondage? You're going to come to a place where you are filled with wrath. And the wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. No. What then will work the righteousness of God in a man's life? You speak in life to them. I see the greatness of God in your life. I see God is working out something mighty, and God is moving you from this the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I see changes happening in your life. Oh, the person is a prostitute, but you're saying, I see God doing something amazing in your life. I see God elevating you. I see God bringing transformation into your life. I see God bringing forth changes into you. I see God honoring his name in you. Oh my God. That's the language of faith. Oh, I see you going to hell. No. Not so. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Will they end up in hell if they do not change? Absolutely. But God wants you to speak the language of faith. He wants me to speak the language of faith, trusting that he's well able to change your life. And as we speak that, he says, something's going to begin to happen. They're going to lay apart all filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness, and they're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save souls. You see, when you're speaking the word of God into people's life, you are engrafting that word into them. And they'll become doers of the word. And not just hearers only. Deceiving them, their own selves. You see, when you hear the word of God, you are called to become a doer of that word. If you are just going about talking, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, and you are not allowing the word of God to change you, you're deceiving your own self, period. And self-deception is the worst thing. You're saying things, but there's no willingness in your heart to change. Huh? Excuse me, who do you think you're deceiving? I'm the righteousness of God. But you move around and you're looking for the next sin to commit. No. You're deceiving yourself. When you begin to declare, I'm the righteousness of God, your entire pursuit of your life is to honor the integrity of that word. The God who has loved you with an everlasting love and wants the very best for you. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do. So, child of God, in a nutshell, I'm saying to us today, as we have stepped into a new season in God, understand that the change is not going to happen because of your strength and your own ability. It's going to happen because you are in total reliance on the grace of God, the mercies of God. Today, as you've heard this word of the Lord, you recognize, you know, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need God's love to be manifested in my life. I need to see myself in a new way based on the word of God. I want to pray with you. Will you repeat after me these words? Oh, before you start repeating, you may be thinking this very moment, I've been like this for the longest time. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've cried, and change hasn't come. I pray you heard what I said. It is not in your crying, in your fasting and in your praying and all of that, that the change takes place. It takes place because you surrender your life to God and say, God, I belong to you. Help me. That's where it starts. And you'll be amazed as you begin to speak the word of righteousness, what God says about you, that you begin to morph, you begin to change, becoming more and more like who he says you are by his word. Now let's pray. Say after me, Father, I receive your word. I receive your engrafted word. The word that is able to save me. I receive it. I receive this word not as a forgetful hearer. I receive it as one who hears what you say. And my heart is in agreement with your word. I speak your word into place in my life as a doer of your word, not a deceiver of myself. I receive your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Let the changes I need in my personal life now kick into motion. Henceforth, I look unto you, the author and finisher of my faith. It is by your faith that I live, move, and have my existence. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of all sins. Thank you, Father, that I am redeemed. Thank you, Father, that you've paid a full price for my wholeness. I receive it all for my spirit, for my soul, and for my body. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that you have received the word of the Lord and that there has been an impact in your life that henceforth will cause you to be propelled into dimensions of supernatural favor in the sight of God and in the sight of man. I love you. Be blessed and be highly favored. Enjoy the goodness of God. Pastor Paul is going to come at this time and lead us in our time of continued worship through communion and through other things that are going to be done now. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord.
That's a word from above. Did you receive it today? I received it as well. Each and every one struggle at one point or another about one issue or another. And I am there too, but God is my help. And that's what he was preaching about. How do we get God's help? How do we get God to help us? And there's so many things, so many areas that we can go into for God's help. The Word of God is full of instructions on how we get help. To read the Word of God is the most important thing. To hear God's voice is another place where the most of us don't always understand, because God speaks in many different ways. He speaks, his voice speaks through like a voice, but he speaks, when he speaks in different ways. He speaks through the word, you read it, and he speaks to you. He can speak into your mind thoughts. He gives you good thoughts of how to, what's the next step. On my issue, what should I be doing with this? Lord, I'm struggling with this. And God will bring you an answer. He might not bring it right away, but he'll bring you an answer. When I was young, 11, 12 years old, I don't even remember how old I was. I accepted the Lord. I said the prayer of salvation. But every time there was another prayer to be said, another time for salvation, I would still go forward. I did that so many times. Because every time that I would pray that prayer, the joy of the Lord would come into me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Each and every day, you should be asking the Lord to help you. The joy of the Lord to be coming into your life, and that's your strength. And I love to accept the Lord each and every time that I would go forward. And I thank God that he put that strength in me in time where I was didn't have to go forward. And he taught me through the Word. I would read the Word every day when I was younger. I should say almost every day. And God built a strength in me, a certain strength, because of the Word. As a child, you understand as a child. As an adult, you will understand as an adult. As a person who is in the world, you won't understand the Word completely, because the world is not connected to God in the same way. Only God can bring that understanding into their hearts. And that's one prayer that I have for the world right now, is that they receive the Word of God in their hearts. In their mind, it's in and it's out. In one ear, out the other ear. But when it comes from God, it stays in their heart. And I pray that they receive from above everything that they need to receive, and that yous continually receive because you read the Word. And as you understand the Word, as you stand on the Word, God will change your whatever issues you have. God is the one who changes. I tried to change certain things in my life, and I was unable to. When I was 18 years old, I backslid. I fell off. I quit reading the Word. The world got interesting. I moved away from home, away from my parents. My parents, they led me in so many different ways. Bring up a child in the ways of the Lord, and they will not depart from it. And I'm one of them. I departed, but I came back, which means I never truly departed. I was backslid for 15 years. During that time, God sustained who I was. I didn't do the will of God, but I would still, it was still in my heart. Then one day, God allowed me to understand through different people. And I just started going to the certain Bible studies, and the Word came back into me. It's not that I had ever quit, because the Word was there. And when Pat accepted the Lord, I had to explain to her, because she had a hard time understanding the Word. She would read the Word. I wasn't living Christ-like yet after my backsliding. But this Word, she didn't understand, and I would explain to her, which meant I started reading the Word again. the Word of God is prevalent in your life. It became prevalent in my life. It started changing me. It started bringing the joy of the Lord again in my life. The Word is so powerful. It cuts like a two-edged sword. And it started cutting things out of me. And one of the first things I had to quit was smoking. And when I came back to the Lord took it away from me. He took smoking away from me. And He took many other things away from me. Some of those things, they never came back, but some of them came back. Smoking was one of them. Today, I'm not smoking anymore. When I was, the day that He took it away from me, I started smoking again. Same day. Nope. It's kind of like, I like smoking, Lord. I'm not quitting. And that's what an addiction is all about. You like it too much. Father God, take those things away from me. Those things that I should not do, but I like to do. The pleasure of sin is only for a season. For a Christian, it's only a short time. God will change you. And God, I was honest with God. Always be honest with God. Always bring your problem to God. I gave my problem to God. I said, I enjoy it. Change what I feel about this. He says, okay, I'm going to help you to quit. First thing, cut your smoking in half. I was smoking a pack and a half, which is about 40 cigarettes per day. 30 to 40 cigarettes per day, which is quite a bit. I know people who smoke more, but that doesn't matter. God can change that. He said, cut it in half. So I did. I was obedient. Obedience is key to you quitting what God wants you to quit. So after I quit it in half, I smoked like that for I think it was about 6 months. And at that same time, He would lead me to smoking lighter brands of cigarettes, because you can buy the high nicotine and you can buy the lower nicotine. And I started lowering the nicotine that I was intaking. That was the steps that God did for told me to do. And then He said one day, smoke only 7 cigarettes per day. In my mind, it was the number of God. But also in my body, this is when I needed a cigarette. First thing in the morning, have a cigarette. Coffee break, have a cigarette. Noontime after a meal, have a cigarette. And throughout the day, I was dividing when I was having a cigarette. 7 cigarettes per day. I did that for about 2 years. But also lowering the nicotine. These are just steps that God took me into. And He can do those steps for you one way or another. If you have an issue with drugs, with sex, with... it could be anything. It could be gambling. It could be drinking, smoking. Anything that is a vice that God does not want you to do. Step by step, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, God will help you. Receive that now. He told me 7 cigarettes and lower the nicotine intake. And then one day after about 2 years of doing that, I was smoking almost air at that point. They were Viscount Lights. I don't know if they still have those cigarettes nowadays. But Viscount Lights, which is almost like smoking air. But to me, it was like a strong cigarette. But there was nothing left. And then one day, a minister asked me to go minister with him. And I went with him. And we were supposed to be there for 3 or 4 days. And I said, well, I can't be smoking in front of them. When you're ministering to people, you should be an example to them. And I said, this is my time to quit. So I put those cigarettes. I drove to where I was going, left the cigarettes that I had. I put them down. I went there to minister, to help the minister. And I came back. Now here was the choice. Do I go back to it? And I said, no. I took those cigarettes. I threw them away. Same as you, at one point, will throw it away. God help us. And God helped me at that point, and I stayed, and I've never touched it ever again. That's the power of God. He works little by little, if I can encourage you. Through the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is who leads you, and walk with Him. In the same way today, even in our giving, if you haven't given your offering, come and give your offering. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Hear what the Lord is saying when you're giving. When you have God will give you a set amount that you should be giving. And be firm with that. Be strong with that. God is a giver, and He's willing to give to you all of your needs. How much more can you give to God towards the ministry? That it goes to the ministry. It goes to paying for the lights. These lights are not cheap. It goes to people coming to the Lord. And those things are so important, because God, He can give resources at any point, but He gives it to each and every one's hands. He gives it to my hands, and then I give a portion back. I use a portion, I give a portion back. So come, give generously, because God is a generous God as well. And it's time for also, if you need your elements for the communion, we're going to do communion as well. And God wants us to look at ourselves. Examine yourself, the Word says, to see if you're right with God. You are a forgiven person today, because God forgave each and everybody. Sometimes we may struggle, but God has a promise that you will not struggle forever. Some people are sick, and you say, well, I've never been healed yet. This is the meal that heals. When God moves in you to partake, you're partaking of the healing of God. Jesus died on the cross. He suffered and died so that you could be healed. He suffered and died so that you could conquer every addiction that you have. He suffered and died that poverty would not be a part of us. He suffered and died for the people of the world, which is each and every one of them. And they need to receive what we have. They need to receive Jesus. He did not die for nothing. He died for a purpose, and the purpose is the world. And today, we need to be ministers of God as well. Where people need to be ministered to, you need to be there for them. You are the hands, you are the feet, you are who God made you to be. And you can go out and help these people to understand that they need Jesus in their life. So now, take, eat. And we partake with Jesus Christ Himself, because He did it with His disciples. Take, eat of my body. And he also said, this is my blood. Drink. This is my blood. Everything about what Jesus did on the cross is what we just did. And because it's in you, because it's in you, he lives in you. And the word says, I can do all things through Christ. All things. And when we can do all things, that means we conquer. We are strong. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And today, as the pastor was preaching, the last prayer that he did, the last prayer that we repeated with him was an acceptance to the Lord. And we can walk with that. We leave these doors, we're walking with it. It's our life. It's our daily duty to do these things because Christ died on the cross for us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And therefore, read the Word. Stay in the Word. Use the Word to conquer. Use the Word to go out to minister to people. The Word is what changes people. They need to hear the Word. So now be blessed with the Word. Whatever God tells you to do, go out and do it. And you shall have what God gives you as well. He's given it all already. Through, he said it was finished, so therefore, act as if it's finished. Receive from above. All good and perfect things come from above. From the Father of lights. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray a blessing over our people. The people that hear your word, Father God, that they will receive everything that they need to receive. There is nothing, nothing at all that you cannot do for them. I pray for peace, joy, health, wealth, everything that belongs to our people to be there for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do we have any new people here today? I don't think we do. Well, thank you for joining us today. It's a little bit earlier than normal, but thank God. Doesn't matter whether it's long or short. When you receive from God, it stays with you. I want to say hi to those that are on Zoom right now.